Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on the Beatitudes as found in Luke chapter 6. On the day my mother died, we crammed into her ugly, pokey hospital room. She had been sick for years and in and out of hospital, but none of us had understood that she was so close to death. We were given just a few hours to prepare, so there we were, shocked, dismayed, terrified, and totally, totally heart-stricken. As I sat and watched my mother gasping for breath, I felt overwhelmed by grief and rage and pain. I thought of all the things we hadn't done and now never would, all the things we should have talked about and now never could, all the ways it was too late to love one another, or to say sorry, or to say goodbye. I had no idea how I could continue without her. No idea how I would go home, go to sleep, get up, and keep on keeping on after her death. Without a doubt, it was the worst day of my life. But it was also more than that. Because in that ugly, pokey hospital room, filled with terrified, anxious, and grief-stricken people, there was something else. There with us and growing stronger all day, I sensed the pulsing heart of love. Love filled the room and pushed at the walls and shot flashes and sparks under the door and down the corridor. Despite our grief and our fear, the whole room was abundantly alive with love. I look back on that day, nearly 20 years ago now, and I still remember it as having an extraordinary orange glow of comfort and assurance. And I know, without a doubt, it was the day I felt closest to God. Blessed are the wealthy, blessed are the healthy, blessed are the happy, blessed are the respectable, say the false preachers and every media outlet in the country. But Jesus says no. Instead, says Jesus, the poor are blessed. The hungry are blessed, the grieving are blessed, the rejected are blessed. But the wealthy, healthy, happy, and respectable, well, they're heading for trouble. Those of us who are currently comfortable find these words intolerable. We ignore them or play them down, or we swap them for Matthew's spiritually gussied up version. Or we hear these words, feel guilty, and try to justify our status and our wealth. Very few of us trust these words, relinquish our safety nets, and become poor for the sake of experiencing the fullness of the gospel. But that is the invitation, to experience the fullness of the gospel, to know the extraordinary healing and freedom of God's love. Jesus offers his teaching, his healing, and his freedom to everyone in the crowd. But the comfortable too often say no. No, I will trust in my wealth to insulate and save me. No, I will not question the ways I am captive to culture. No, I will not look at the poverty and the pain upon which my privilege depends. No, I will not acknowledge my own emptiness and suffering and the hold that they have over me. No, I will not turn our economy upside down. I worked hard for my money. I earned my comforts. God's Jubilee justice is great in theory, but it's really quite unworkable and nothing to do with me. As long as we say no and stand back from the crowd, Jesus' words ring true. We face trouble, woe, sorrow, distress. And this trouble coming our way is neither punishment nor curse. Instead, when we swallow the lie that prosperity and happiness are signs of God's favour, when we dismiss our own need of God, then we are turning away from the joyful freedom which flows from God's presence and the healing which is experienced in love. Woe and distress are a natural consequence of privilege, because our privilege shields us from God. Jesus longs to teach and heal every person in the crowd. God longs to pour life in all its fullness into every one of us. But unless we align ourselves with those who know their need, unless we crowd around Jesus and reach out to him, unless we acknowledge our vulnerability and emptiness, then God's abundant love and life will have nowhere to go. For it takes capacity to receive God's grace, a capacity which is only possible when we acknowledge our brokenness, our emptiness, and our pain. Suffering, poverty, hunger, shame, grief, marginalization, they are not blessings in and of themselves. They are blessings because they create capacity for Christ's superabundant presence, the Spirit which comforts and teaches, heals and frees. In my own life, I have known love's presence at deathbeds and during crises and at food banks. I've seen love at work among the marginal and rejected. I have felt love's company when I sit with people on the dunghill of their lives. But with the wealthy, the successful, the relentlessly happy and the triumphant, I have rarely sensed God's love. God is not sought there. There is no room. And so I ask you, how do health, wealth, happiness and respectability shield you from God's overflowing generosity and love? When have you suffered? What are your wounds? How are you hiding them, denying them, covering them up, or protecting them? And will you invite Christ Jesus into those painful, dark, and shameful places and open yourself to his healing? Will you open yourself to his healing? That's all for today. May you know the powerful healing of the presence of Christ, which leads you into the ways of freedom. Amen.